it was the old covenant version of what we're doing under the new covenant. And so all the things they're talking about building, they were talking about physical buildings, whereas we are talking about building spiritual places of habitation for the Lord. The things that they were talking about their enemies, they were physical enemies, people, but we are talking about the enemy. And so there's a lot of similarities, and we've been talking about it. I've been working on the same message now for, this will be the third and final week, messed up and shaken up. So, you know, we acknowledge that we're all a little bit messed up, some more so than others. You know, some were breech-born, some were born normally, some, you know, have problems, some have things in their life that they've overcome. I'm being very serious now. Some have terrible things in their childhood that they have had to overcome. And other people have had a blessed and easy life. We come from all different places, but the truth is everybody has got some areas that are messed up. And if you don't acknowledge that, you're a liar. I mean, that's just the truth. We are messed up. So God wants to shake us up, though, and he wants to get us out of that place where we're just sitting around and discouraged and saying, I'm not going to try anymore. And that's where some people end up. They get discouraged. They start having setbacks, and they say, oh, man, I'm just going to take a break, you know. And when you take a break, sometimes you look up, and it's been 10 or 15 or 20 years that you've been just sitting taking a break. And that's what I was speaking about earlier, is that God wants to restore those years. So the Lord wants to speak to us about our pursuit of him, not being content to just sit and be same old, same old, but he wants us to be pursuing him. And when we pursue him, he changes us. And that's what we want. All these songs we sing, we're talking about being in his presence. We're talking about him changing us. We're talking about him restoring, and we're acknowledging what he's already done in our lives. I mean, that's what worship is all about. It's thinking about how we were and how we are. And how we are is redeemed and changed, and we are being changed all the time. God is changing us. And that's what we want. We don't want to pull back and just sit down and say, I can't take it anymore, or I don't want this anymore. I'm okay. You know, I got my ticket punched. I'm going to heaven. I'm okay. We don't want that. What we want is to say, Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to be like you. I want to hear your voice. I want to be changed daily. That's the promise. And we need to embrace what God has promised us. Now, the enemy would like for you to do just the opposite. He would like for you just to sit down and just not pursue God at all. Just stay where you are and be content. That's not acceptable. So you've got those notes in there. We're going to be on the third point. God, he will shake and break our discouragement. He'll get us out of that discouragement. And our part is that we've got to believe what God says. We got to be strong and don't be fearful. And we got to act on what God is saying to us. And then we have to have some hope. And we are promised that we have hope. That's one of the things that makes Christianity different than a lot of other religions in the world. We have hope. You know, I don't profess to know about every other religion. I just know that Christianity is a way of believing that is filled with hope. Because that is the basis of it all, is that God loves us so much that he gave us an opportunity to have eternal life. That's pretty good hope. So you have hope. You need to be convinced of that, and you need to pursue that. You got a better tomorrow. Pursue that better tomorrow. Don't just be content to sit and be who you are right now. So God is going to shake you up so that you will rise up and begin to build again. And when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. You understand that God is shaking me up too. And I didn't even think about it, but when I read that big passage this morning, David, he was saying, you're going to shake the heavens and the earth. You're going to shake her. You're going to cause her. You know, God is in the shaking business. And he doesn't want us just to sit. Now, I'm not talking about, the shaking baby syndrome. I'm talking about, you know, he wants you to rise out of your sleep. It's like when a kid is asleep and you go under and you say, hey, it's time to wake up. You know, you know, time to wake up, and you kind of got to shake them a little bit, you know. And they go, oh, okay, and they get up, hopefully. I didn't get up very good when I was a kid. Man, they'd come in there and shake me, do all kinds of things. I'd just sleep right on through it. I've done that spiritually, too. Sometimes I've just slept right through it. God is shaking me. See, he starts out with that still, small voice and just whispering to you, saying, this is what I'd like for you to do. This is what I want to change about you. And if you don't listen and respond, he begins to talk a little bit louder. And circumstances in life begin to develop that are causing a shaking. Be a quick study, okay? Learn quickly, respond quickly, because otherwise you'll find yourself going around, like in the children of Israel's case, going around in the desert, round and around and around, just repeating that same cycle, because God is wanting us to respond to him. And because he loves us so much, he doesn't give up. He doesn't say, fine, you know, you don't want to respond, I just won't mess with you anymore. He doesn't do that. He comes back to us and he keeps pursuing us. But each time he comes back, he's given us an opportunity to respond differently than we responded last time. The Lord never gives up on us. And we give up on ourselves sometimes, but the Lord never gives up. So I'll just say this about it. When you are thinking, why do I have to deal with all those nasty people, all those people that aggravate me, all those people that are so difficult, why do I have to keep dealing with, you know, with brother, what's his name, or sister, whoever? You know, they're just so abrasive and so difficult. Why do I have to do that? Well, think about it. There's something in you that needs to be changed, and God is giving you an opportunity to change. And every time brother whatever comes to you and does this little abrasive thing to you, you get all, wow, that no good, rotten, and you get all stirred up. And then you're just doomed to keep repeating that cycle over and over and over. But if you'll begin to respond out of love and kindness and patience, not get upset. Someone is abrasive to you, just love them, bless them. And lo and behold, first thing you know, you'll be thinking, huh, they're not abrasive anymore. I don't even think, what was I upset about? They don't bother me anymore. So you can't change other people, but you can change yourself. And so, you know, if you think everybody else has a problem, every now and then you might need to, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that's got the problem. Just saying, that's not really part of the message. That's just a freebie. Not a commercial on antiperspirant or anything. I'm just saying, we need to change ourselves. Let God change us. Not worry about everybody else. Because God's big enough to take care of other people's problems without you. God can shake you up to rise and build again. Now in Zechariah 4, so let me just give you. I know you've been hearing this, but we got a few visitors. I'm just going to repeat it. So at Ezra, they were rebuilding the temple. And then in Nehemiah, they were rebuilding the walls around the whole city of Jerusalem. And so some of the local people that didn't want them to rebuild everything began to complain. They sent a letter off to the king of Persia, and he sent a letter back saying, stop building. So they stopped, and the building had ceased for several years, maybe as many as 15 or so. And then these prophets came along, Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. They began to come along and began to say, hey, it's time. It's time to get back into the swing of things. It's time to get back into building. Rise up and build. Don't just be content to sit. And they began to rise up and build. Zechariah 4 says, now Zerubbabel was the governor. He was the one that was in charge of all this rebuilding process for the Jews. And the Lord says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands also shall finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. So you can do this thing of letting God shake you up and rise up and build again by grace through faith, just like everything we do in the spiritual realm. That's what it takes, grace through faith. God has provided it. It's there. His grace is sufficient. We apply His grace by faith. And even in that passage we just read, He says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. And He says, Zerubbabel is going to, He's going to set the capstone in place. He's going to finish all this that He started by grace. He's going to do it with shouts of grace, grace. You understand, everything in the spiritual realm is God's free gift to us. And our job is to receive it. Sometimes receiving it means that we have to pray. Sometimes receiving it means that we have to give. Sometimes it means we have to invest ourselves. Sometimes it means that we have to go through some hard times to get ourselves positioned so that we're ready to receive and ready to respond the way God wants. Because God is always out for our good. And I think that's where a lot of people get messed up, is when they go through difficult times, they begin to think God is doing bad stuff to them, or God is allowing them to go through this bad stuff for some like punishment reason or something like that. But the truth is, God always wants good. He wants to work good in our lives. And so when we go through things that are unpleasant, you can either get all bent out of shape and you can say, why, poor me, I got these problems. Or you can say, okay, God, here I am. What do you want to show me? What can I learn? What is the good that you're working in me here? Let me get my eyes on the Lord. Let me get my eyes on the finished product, not the struggle right now. See, we have hope that one day we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be glorified. We're going to be forevermore with the Lord. And everything we're doing here is just working towards that one goal. And so don't get all caught up in the struggle. Get caught up in the end result. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm pressing on. I'm not thinking about the stuff in the past. I'm not thinking about all the times I got shipwrecked or beat up or stoned or beat 39 times with a whip. He said, man, my eyes are on the prize. I'm looking forward. I'm forgetting about all that stuff in the past. I'm going forward. Your problems seem really big when you just focus on your problems. But when you begin to focus on God's greatness, your problems don't seem so big then. You begin to realize that it's safe and it's okay to be in a desperate situation when you're in God's hands. And we are in God's hands if we're believers, right? Now, when you're right in the middle of struggle, sometimes you don't feel like that. You're feeling all the pressure, all that stuff going on, and and that's kind of normal. But you gotta just sort of rein all that back in and begin to think, okay, this is what God says. God says, I love you, I'm with you, never gonna forsake you, never gonna leave you, I'm gonna take care of you. You are His responsibility. Just think about that. He is responsible to take care of you. Take some of the pressure off, doesn't it? You think of it that way. The God of the universe has said, I'm going to be responsible for your well-being if you'll just trust me and believe me. That's pretty good. I'll sign up for that. All day, that's right. Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Verse 36, Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, Jerusalem, of which you say, It shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. And I'll bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, so that they will not depart from me. Yes. And I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. That's what God is saying about us. This passage right here, it was prophetic because it hadn't even happened yet. They hadn't even been carried away to Babylon yet, and God was saying, I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to restore it all, and I'm going to show you that my heart and soul is for good for you. And there's not anything that's too difficult for me. I'm the God of all flesh. I'm the God of everything. There's nothing too hard for me. We need to get on board with that concept and begin to realize that God is God. He rules and reigns over everything. You get focused on your problem, you know, God doesn't seem so big. You get focused on God's greatness, your problems don't seem so big. Where are you going to focus? I haven't been through everything that some of you have been through, but I've been through some hard times. And I know it's when you're going through something that looks like it's just going to swallow you up. You know, you look at it and you think, wow, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But God is still there and he's still working. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't know it, God is still there. He's working that good in your life. Just like he said in Jeremiah, I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to show you all my good. I'm going to plant you in this place. I'm going to fix this so you're going to rise up and you're going to build and you're going to be successful again. And it's going to be for you and your children after you, for the generation to come after you. It's going to be good. I'm working my good in you. That's the promise. That's what we need to get hung up on that. Don't get hung up on your problems and struggles. Get hung up on God's goodness. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord runs to and fro over the entire earth looking for someone that he can show himself strong on their behalf. That's what God's all about. He wants to do good in us, good for us, good to us, good through us. He wants to work his good all the time. And God has decreed that. Ezra 6, this is what King Darius said. And when these guys, they questioned what was going on about building the temple. And then the Jews sent a letter back, and they did a search, and they found out, hey, you know, there was a decree from a former king that you were supposed to build. And so this is what he responded about. Now the Jews are not building, they're sitting down discouraged, experiencing a setback because a king had told them, stop working. The prophets began to speak to him. They responded to it. And here's what King Darius says. He issued a decree, and a search was made in the archives for the treasures restored in Babylon. And at Ekmetha, in the palace that is in the province of Media, a scroll was found. And in it, a record was written thus. In the first year of King Cyrus issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations of it be firmly laid, its height 60 cubits, and its width 60 cubits, and three rows of heavy stones and one row of new timber. Let the expenses be paid from the king's treasury. Amen. Build it, and I'll pay for it. Also, let the gold and the silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple, which is in Jerusalem, be brought back from Babylon and be restored and taken back to the temple, which is in Jerusalem, each to its place, and deposit them in the house of God. Now, therefore, Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shetharbozai and the other companions of the Persians who are beyond the river, keep yourselves far from there. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree as to what you shall do for the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God. Let the cost be paid at the king's expense from taxes on the region beyond the river. This is to be given immediately to these men, so they are not hindered. Whatever they need, young bulls, rams, and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat and salt and wine and oil, according to the requests of the priests who are in Jerusalem, let it be given to them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet aroma to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I issue a decree, whoever alters this edict, let a timber be pulled from his house and erected, and let him be hanged on it. Let his house be made a refuse heap because of this, May the God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it, or destroy this house of God which is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, issue a decree. Let it be done diligently. That's a lot. But what he's saying is, I'm telling you, rise up and build. I'm going to pay for it. And you other guys that are trying to hinder it, stay away from them, leave them alone, because I've decreed it. And if you try to hinder it, bad things are going to happen to you. That's exactly what God says. God says, I want my people to rise up and build a place for me to live in. And anybody that tries to hinder it, well, let me just say, I've already defeated them, and it's just a formal thing, but I'm going to put you under my feet, and they're going to put you under their feet, and you're going to rule and reign, and I'm going to pay for this rebuilding process, and the enemies have no right, because I've issued a decree, and you cannot stop what I am building. That's what God decrees. It's not if or maybe. God says, this is what I'm saying to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen to those who believe, those who are in Christ. Let it be done diligently. Get after it, folks. Time to build. Haggai 2. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth, and I'll overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms, and I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Wow. God is saying, I've conquered death, hell, and the grave. It's all mine. I have overcome. And we, as his children, are supposed to overcome as well. We are walking in overcoming power right now if we are doing it. You know, it's there. It's available to us. But we have to walk in it. We have to accept what God says, and we have to have faith, and we have to begin to believe what God says more than what the enemy says. Now, back in Ezra, those guys, they listened to the enemy. And they sat down, and they got discouraged. But then when they began to listen to God again, they rose up. And they rose up and they began to build. When they began to build, God said, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, and no one can stop you. I've set a door before you that is open, and no one can close it. And I've closed doors that no one can open, because I'm watching out for you. I'm protecting you. I've gone before you. I'm making the mountains like a plain. I'm making the crooked roads straight. I'm going before you, and I'm working all this out because you're my child, and I love you, and I have good things in store for you. That's what God says about us. And what the enemy says about you is, you can't build that. You can't do this. You're going to be a flop just like you've always been a flop. You're going to be a failure. You're not going to rise above that. You know, you got this anxiety or fear or doubt, and that's who you are. It's part of your personality. That's who you're always going to be. Might as well just accept it. Baloney. I want to accept what God says. God says, I am redeemed. He didn't say, you're messed up and I'm just going to help you stay messed up. No. The same guy who started it is going to complete it. That's what he said. Zerubbabel, you laid the foundations and you're going to finish the capstone and slap it on there, baby, by saying grace, grace to it. That's what you got to do. You got to walk in the grace of the Lord. You got to believe what he says about you. Let his grace be sufficient for all of your needs. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to do it by your might and your power and your strength, your knowledge, your will, and you're going to go, you're going to flop, because you do not have the power and the strength to do it. But God has given you a way by his grace. So all this talk about, I'm going to overthrow the throne of kingdoms and the strength of the Gentile kingdom and the chariots and those who ride in them, that's all talking about the strength of the enemy. All of that is talking about the strength of the enemy. And God says, I'm going to overthrow all that. Jesus came along, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ephesians 1:22, he says, he put all things under his feet. And he gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church. 1 Corinthians 15:25. Behold, I give you the authority to trample. Whoop, that's the wrong verse. He put all things under your feet. And then Romans 16:20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority is given to me, heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. All things are possible. Jesus talking to that rich young ruler, and he was rich. He didn't want to give up his riches, and he went away sad. Jesus told he told the disciples, he said, it's hard for rich people to make it into heaven. He didn't say it was impossible. He just said it's hard. And they said, well, golly, that's a hard saying. You know, how's anybody going to make it? And he said, with God, nothing is impossible. With man, things look impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. But we got to get our eyes on him. Hear what God's saying about situations in life. Hear what God's saying about things. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, we stand by grace, which we access by faith. This is not real complicated. It's a little harder to live it out in real life. You know, I grant that, because when you're right in the heat of the battle, I mean, there's all kinds of things going through your mind. When you're in the heat of the battle, bullets are flying, things are blowing up, lots of noise, confusion, smoke. You know, you get distracted. I think about those poor slobs with the swords, I mean, they're just crashing and just, sword. And it's like, wow, I can't imagine. Although, the same thing in a jungle with bullets whizzing all around you and you can't see who's shooting them or where they're coming from and you don't know who the enemy is. The difference is, we know who the enemy is. And we know that he is attacking us pretty much nonstop. And the things that have worked on you in the past, things that have been successful, he's going to come back to. If it's worked before, he's going to try it again. So those areas that he comes to you and beats you up, he starts coming and saying, that's just the way you are. You know, you're going to be that way. If that works on you, he's going to do that. You need to rise up and say, that is a lie. I reject that. I agreed with that yesterday, but today, no. I'm not going to agree with that today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I'm redeemed. Today is the day that God has delivered me. And you begin to just proclaim the truth of God's word. And it's okay to just go ahead and say, devil, I don't agree with you anymore. Get out. Go away. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. It doesn't say he'll just, sneak away. I mean, it says he will flee. We have authority. We have all authority as long as we're walking in the Lord and applying it according to his word. Become who God purposed you to be. Now, you could say a lot of things about that, and I'm not going to make a big production of it. It's just that God does have a plan and purpose for each one of us, and it's a good plan. And he wants to make us into something beautiful in his sight and something that is useful in his kingdom. And our responsibility is just to let him have his way in us. Don't resist. You think about the potter. He's got the clay and he's working on it. You don't. Now, in a cartoon, it might happen. The clay would jump off the wheel and, run away. That's not the way we ought to be doing. He wants to mold us and shape us into something acceptable in his sight, something useful in his kingdom. But if you jump off the potter's wheel, you're just going to be messed up. And so, he catches you, puts you back on the wheel, and you jump off and run away again. And then he'll catch you and he puts you back on the wheel. We're in a repetitive cycle. We all have seasons in our lives, and some seasons are victorious and wonderful. Some seasons are just like living hell. I'm just being honest. I mean, we go through struggles. There's times that we're excited. There's times that we're discouraged. There's times that we're having trouble with our microphone and times that we're not. So it all works out. So the thing is, though, we need to be staying in this process of trying to become like the Lord. And if you're in a season of struggle, instead of throwing your hands up and giving up, can I just encourage you to sort of just embrace that and say, God, what is the good that you're going to work in me? Because I'm going to love you and I'm going to trust you. Like Job said, you can slay me and I'm still going to trust you. You get your mind right like that, your problems won't seem so bad anymore. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to walk in the joy of the Lord. And you'll begin to be able to just sing and have a great time, even though everything's falling apart. But if you get your eyes on the problems, that's what you're going to be thinking about all the time. So the seasons of life, they come and they go. God wants to keep us moving forward. The good seasons are opportunities for us to enjoy His goodness and dig in deeper. The seasons of struggle, they're opportunities for us to enjoy His goodness and dig in deeper. Because it's all the same. In Him, we live and breathe and have our very being. I mean, we got to stay engaged in this process of becoming like Him. Through the good, through the bad, through the fun, through the horrors of it all. And there are times where, you know, everybody gets really tired. But don't give up. Rise up. Build. John 17. Jesus says, I'm praying. He says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. He's talking about His disciples, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, and I, you are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfect, may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these that have known you that you sent me, that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Now, I read all that to you because I want you to understand that Jesus says, the glory that I have given to you. Now, God said, I'm not going to share my glory with another. Now, there's an aspect of God's glory. You know, we're not supposed to take credit for anything that God does. That's His glory that we will never share in. But there, this aspect of God's glory that Jesus demonstrated, His goodness. When Moses prayed, said, Lord, show me, reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. Show me your glory. And what did God say? He said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. So when Jesus says, I'm giving you the same glory that God has given me, that is His goodness. We're supposed to be like Him. We're supposed to be molded and made into His image. That's a pretty cool thing. We're supposed to be like Him. He's made that possible And that is his expectation of us, is that we would be like him. Worship team, y'all can come back up. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for us. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. And all that is about being conformed to the image of Jesus. So all the things that you experience in this life, good or bad, fun, horrible, pretty, ugly, whatever kind of things you want to say about it, it all is working for our good if we embrace that and let that happen. If you resist and you reject and you bow up and you grumble and you complain and you grouse and gripe, then you're probably just going to experience bad times. But when you go through those kind of times and you begin to look at God through the right kind of eyes and listen with the right kind of ears, get tuned into what he's doing, then he can use all that to produce good in you. He can change you to be more like him. We want to be changed. Amen? Well, there's these three guys. They were from different kind of backgrounds. You know, one was like a liturgical kind of a guy, and one was more of an evangelical, and one was one of these name it, claim it types. And so they were talking about, you know, the difference, what they believed about going to heaven, and they didn't really agree. Well, they all died. They all ended up in hell. And the first guy said, well, you know, I thought I had it, but I guess I didn't. And the second guy said, well, I had it, but I guess I lost it. The third guy said, this isn't hell and I'm not hot. So what I'm saying to you is we all have an opportunity to respond to the Lord, and none of us have it all figured out exactly. You know, everybody has a part of truth. Everybody understands some things, but the truth is there's a lot of things we don't know and understand. But we just got to keep our eyes on him and keep saying, Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me. Lord, lead me. Lay yourself before him and just say, here I am. What do you want to do? God wants us to rise up and build. I'm not talking about anything except just a place in your heart for God to dwell in. Rise up and build. Begin to pursue him and say, God, I want you to just fill me to overflowing. I lay everything before you. I just want you to come and take possession and take control of everything. I want you to be Lord and Master over every part of my life. And when we do that, then he'll begin to come and fill us and begin to live there. And instead of experiencing good times on Sunday morning maybe, and then the rest of the week we're just doing whatever, maybe every day, all day long, we'll just be experiencing God's presence in a more full way, and we'll begin to be changed. And when people say ugly things to us, instead of saying, why are you, we'll just say, oh, bless them, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't that a better plan than just going around doing your own thing all the time? God's got such a good plan for us if we just grab a hold. Lord, I pray that you cause this to sink into us, each one of us, Lord. And we don't just go out of here and forget. But Lord, seal this with your Holy Spirit, that the Word of God would become alive, would become a rhema word, that it would breathe life into us, that you could change us by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's stand and sing. Crowned with glory now, save. So I don't want to prolong this, but I just want to offer you a chance. If you need to get right with God, if you need something, something, a special prayer about something in your life, whether it's a physical need, spiritual need, financial need, whatever. Altars are open. Someone will pray with you. I want to invite you to come as we sing this last song and worship. If you have a need, just come on down. Come on down and receive from the Lord.
Word.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his perfect peace. Go in the name of the Lord and be blessed. If you have any special needs, you'd like to prayer, people will meet you here. Otherwise, we have snacks and coffee, visit. Don't forget Wednesday night activities. Have a great week. Thank you.